Good day. This is the Philip Korper Show. I'm Philip Korper. This is episode 43, October 1st, 2018. You might be wondering where episode 41 was. Well, I did a Facebook Live show on Friday, which was 3 days ago. And I talked about the Kavanaugh hearings. So I did that on Facebook Live. That turned out to be really pretty fun, and a lot of views with that. So that was a lot of fun, and I went on and rambled for about 32 minutes about the Brett Kavanaugh hearing. So this is Monday, and I wanted to talk about that. Mitch McConnell he's telling that. Mitch McConnell went before the Senate, and he gave this scathing speech, you know, and he's just comparing the Democrats to McCarthyism, where they're just actually just going after people. He talked about that there would be a final vote on the Kavanaugh confirmation in the Senate this week. The time for endless delay and obstruction has come to a close. This Fox News article says, almost immediately after the FBI started its additional review of Kavanaugh, top Democrats who had demanded the probe openly suggest the Bureau would be improperly influenced by the White House and that its investigation lacked legitimacy. Okay. What? The Democrats berated Brett Kavanaugh time and time again. Time again. I forgot that. Dick Durbin said, look, there's that man right there. Yeah, it's Donald Trump's, I forgot what it was, lead guy. Ask him. Why not just ask him right now? Just ask him right now. I think we should do an FBI investigation. Okay. The Democrats, this time and time, deified, they all were just clamoring. What's the rush? Let's do an FBI investigation. What do you got to lose? What do you got to hide here? Okay, of course, right when Jeff Flake, you know, gets accosted in an elevator with these two paid George Soros people, professional hecklers, who get in his face and start yelling and screaming at him and say, I am a victim. I am a victim. How come you don't believe me? Look at my face. Look at my face. I am a victim. You know, what Jeff Flake should have done was go, ma'am, I am so sorry. Maybe my office can help. Let me know who committed this crime against you, and let's go and put him in jail or, you know, whatever. Let's convict him. I mean, why is this lady yelling at Senator Jeff Flake? Okay. But anyhow, Mitch McConnell says, if you listen carefully, Mr. President, you can practically hear the sounds of the Democrats moving the goalposts. Their goalposts keep shifting, but their goal hasn't moved an inch, not an inch. Do these actions suggest this has been about finding the truth? Anybody believe that? No, we know it's not about finding the truth, okay? Dianne Feinstein, when she heard about these allegations from Christine Blasey Ford, could have immediately started investigating this. She could have talked to Chuck Grassley, the chairman of the committee. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's figure it out. They have, the Senate Judiciary Committee has their own paid investigators. So they could have really found, you know, do all this research that they really want to do now. You know, the truth of the matter is that the Democrats, I mean, how many millions and millions of dollars have they spent on trying to dig up dirt on Brett Kavanaugh? Okay, I mean, good grief. This will be the seventh background investigation that Brett Kavanaugh has had. I know a lot about And I've read a lot about these types of investigations. And so I know that family will be interviewed, family and friends will be interviewed, and they'll follow any of those leads out. These are very expensive and thorough investigations that the FBI does. And so Brett Kavanaugh has just sailed through all of these, okay? So there's really no reason to believe anything differently now. I really like this Alan Dershowitz statement. And he says, this is an opinion piece, and this is in Fox News, until Judge Brett Kavanaugh was accused of horrible crimes, sexual assault, lewd conduct, and even gang rape, his confirmation hearings could fairly, if not entirely accurately, be characterized as a job interview. As a job interview. It's funny, my leftist friends, when I want to talk to them about this, they say, well, this is not a courtroom proceeding. This is not a trial. No, this is a job interview. And, you know, I feel like saying, well, what are the rules on this job interview? Oh, there really are no rules. Oh, okay. Well, I don't believe Ford. I don't believe her. I don't believe her, her timing. I don't believe her. She lies. She lies about flying. She doesn't even know when she turned her medical records into the Washington Post compost. I mean, that happened 7 weeks ago. She couldn't remember that. She doesn't know what she's talking about. You know, I've struggled a little bit with this. I have to admit, with this credibility thing. And I hear a lot of people say, well, her story, you know, she shared her story. And you can kind of follow it from a start to a finish as she reads her story, what happened to her like 35 years ago. And you can follow a start and a middle part and a finish. Okay, and I was considering that, as other people were calling that, credible. Okay, it's a credible story. But I think when I say credible, I think that makes it sound like it's true. Even when Senator John Cornyn told the press after she spoke during that break, well, it looks like I can't really deny that it's not credible. Okay, doing a double negative, he's saying that basically that her story is credible. And so CNN was going, how in the world is he going to vote yes on Kavanaugh if he thinks her story's credible? Meaning, like, he believes it. Or, like, it's truth. I really think this muddies the water. Okay. Was Christine Blasey Ford's story, as she shared it, did it seem kind of believable? Well, maybe a little bit, and that's what I was kind of getting at. But does she have any proof that any of this happened? I really like what Alan Dershowitz says here. He says, reading on, but now everything has changed. So should the burden of persuasion. The behavior of which Judge Kavanaugh has been accused is so serious and devastating that it requires a high level of proof before forming a basis for this rejection. I really think this is a good point. There is an enormous and dispositive difference between a candidate's rejection on ideological grounds, as was the case with Robert Bork, and rejection on the ground that he has committed crimes warranting lifetime imprisonment rather than a lifetime appointment. Being on the Supreme Court is a privilege, not a right. But being disqualified based on false accusation of a crime would be a violation of the fundamental right to fairness. Some will argue that the issue of Judge Kavanaugh's ideological and professional qualifications should be merged with the sexual allegations, and that doubts should be resolved against a lifetime appointment. In some cases, that would be a plausible argument, but it's too late for that kind of nuanced approach now because these accusations have received worldwide attention. Judge Kavanaugh is on trial for his life. At stake are his career, his family, his legacy, and a reputation earned over many decades as a lawyer and judge. I really think that is true. Before, when we're kind of going along, okay, this is one of the longest hearings, nomination processes that we've gone through, okay? So we have had a lot of time to investigate Brett Kavanaugh, okay? Lots of time, okay? He's on the D.C. judge right now. He's already been through this process before. And so for the Democrats that continue to ask for more time is moving the goalposts. I had a friend say, oh, once they get the FBI investigation and they agree to a 1 week, oh, they'll be upset at something else. There'll be something else. And of course, there is always something else, and there will always be something else that the Democrats want more of, because they do not want him to receive this seat in the Supreme Court. They have opened against about this. Chuck Schumer threatened all of the Democrat senators to vote no on Brett Kavanaugh. And this is when Joe Manchin, Democrat senator of West Virginia, pushed back against him and said, you're not going to tell me what to do. Schumer, you're not going to, Chucky baby, you're not going to tell me what to do. So I like this Alan Dershowitz idea. This is true. Okay, yes, okay, they were getting to know him. They're going to try to see if he is worthy for this privilege to be on the court. But now they're throwing all of these incredible accusations at him. And so he should be able to prove that he's innocent, okay? And of course, he's innocent till proven guilty. So he really doesn't even have to prove that he's innocent. The Blasey Ford has to prove that her story is the truth. She's got to prove that. That is, the onus is on her. This is amazing. I am so grateful that we live in a land that someone can't just accuse you of something bad, and then you just have to suffer incredible amounts of consequences because of that. This would be a crazy world that we would live in. No, not in America. You are innocent till proven guilty. The burden of proof is on the accuser. Okay, not the accusee. That is such an important distinction. Of course, what this is boiling down to, like with my friends, is that the Democrats, they believe Ford, right? Christine Blasey Ford, they believe her. And the Republicans, well, they believe Brett Kavanaugh. Okay, and you know what? Who has evidence? Brett Kavanaugh has evidence. Who doesn't have any evidence? Oh, Christine Blasey Ford has no evidence. And as a matter of fact, no witnesses. Brett Kavanaugh has witnesses. She has no witnesses. And she has incredible holes in her story. Okay. And she retold this story differently before. Okay. So, anyhow, I think this is... You know, I love it. Mitch McConnell, I'm sorry this is really dragged on. No, who's complaining about the expense of this FBI investigation? And so nobody, okay. But I love this. I love it. The Republicans can just vote on Friday. I still believe the Democrats do not have the votes to shut Brett Kavanaugh down. And you know how I know that? Because they're not asking for a vote. They keep delaying this. They keep delaying this, hoping that they will get enough votes, that the midterms will come, that they'll take over the Senate, that they'll just permanently just backlog this guy. Okay. You know, tit for tat. The Republicans did it with Merrick Garland. We're going to do it with Brett Kavanaugh. They're going to stall him out or get rid of him. They probably thought he would step down a long time ago. So anyhow, fascinating story on Kellyanne Conway today, and as she was speaking out against this, and then she said that something that she hasn't revealed before. She said, "I feel very empathetic, frankly, for victims of sexual assault and sexual harassment and rape. I am a victim of sexual assault. I don't expect Judge Kavanaugh or Jake Tapper or Jeff Flake to be held responsible for that. You have to be responsible for your own conduct." She then went on and addressed the women confronting Flake on Friday. That's at the elevator. "I want those women who were sexually assaulted the other day who were confronting Jeff Flake, God bless them, but go blame the perpetrator. That's who is responsible for the sexual assaults, the people who committed them. And so I think that is an extremely good point. I like that. I like Kellyanne. Good job. Kellyanne, good job. Oh, and oh my heavens, you would never guess who's weighing in on this FBI investigation. No, no, I mean, I know you can't figure this out. But guess what? The guy who loves attention, the guy who talks too much. Oh, yes, you might know who I'm thinking about. Oh, this is James Comey. Oh, the one and only, the guy who was fired for being at the Bureau, at the top of the Bureau, the former FBI director, James, I talk all the time, too much, put my foot in my mouth, Comey. And so, oh, he's got a New York Times op-ed. Oh, good place to put it. And Comey says, it is idiotic to put a shot clock on the FBI. The process is deeply flawed and apparently designed to thwart the fact-gathering process. If truth were the only goal, there would be no clock, and the investigation wouldn't have to be sought after the Senate Judiciary Committee already endorsed the nominee. Instead, it seems that the Republican goal is to be able to say there was an investigation and it didn't change their view, while the Democrats hope for incriminating evidence to derail the nominee. This is such a lie, because there have been investigations. The whole Senate committee has been investigating all of this with their staffers. By golly, don't you think they would be investigating this? They are. The Senate Judiciary Committee has a bunch of investigators, and they're investigating this. Okay. But anyhow, the Democrats want to stall, and they want the FBI to do it. Oh, yeah, I got to get the Bureau in there. Get the G-men in there. They'll figure it out. Donald Trump tweeted about this. Wow, just starting to hear the Democrats, who are only thinking obstruct and delay, are starting to put out the word that the time and scope, in quotes, of FBI looking into Judge Kavanaugh and witnesses is not enough. Hello, for them, it will never be enough. Stay tuned and watch. Oh, the Donald. Oh, I love it. I love it when he trolls them, but I love it when he reaches out to us. Have you noticed, by the way, Donald Trump is everywhere. He was in West Virginia again. I saw him in Charleston just a few weeks ago. He was in Wheeling, West Virginia again. He is close to Pikeville, Kentucky again. He is down in Johnson City, I believe, at Tennessee. I've got some friends who are there. Supposedly the lines are super long. I mean, he is everywhere. I was thinking about what these visits do. I mean, the economy. I had a friend who was in the football game yesterday in Johnson City, and they're scrambling to get everyone out of there so they could get it all ready for Donald Trump. Oh, I love this. This is so good. I love how Donald is everywhere. Everywhere. And today, speaking of that, I wanted to figure out more about this Canadian Trump deal, and I Googled it. Trump-Canadian trade deal. Okay, if you look through the results, okay, it's CNN, of course, New York Times, Roll Call, Yahoo, CBC, QZ, CBS News, Business Financial, McCall. Oh, you got to keep going through page after page of search results. No Fox News. I want to click on the Fox News one. Why? I don't want to do clickbait on any of these liberal rags. I don't want to look at any of their advertising. I want to look at Fox News's advertising. I want to support that. Oh my heavens. I mean, I go through page after page after page, no Fox News. I go to Fox News's website. Oh, there it is. Okay, it's there on their website. Oh no. I mean, no, Google is just burying this conservative stuff. I mean, completely burying it. I mean, unabashed. Just disaster. I did the same search on my iPhone. It was the same results. No, I can't find the Fox News stuff. I have to just go to their website to find their stuff. Google's not going to pull this stuff up. Not on my feed. Donald, it was awesome. He gives us, I forgot how long it is. Over an hour press conference out in the Rose Garden today. You know, and at first, he was picking on people to talk about the trade deal, the Canadian trade deal. By the way, the Donald's got a trade deal going with Canada, now Mexico. I mean, this is just so awesome. This is so exciting. The markets love it. Oh, this is so the art of the deal. I mean, Donald Trump wrote a book, The Art of the Deal, about negotiating. And he does it. I mean, I don't know how he has enough time. The guy is everywhere and doing everything. We're really getting our money's worth out of this guy. I mean, shoot, he's donating a salary. I mean, this is just amazing. So anyhow, he goes on and he won't talk about, they all want to talk about Kavanaugh. Oh, Kavanaugh. No, I don't want to talk. No. Trade deal. So he finally gets some questions about the trade deal, gets to talk about the trade deal. And then he goes full circle and then he talks about Kavanaugh. Talks about how unfair this process has been to Brett Kavanaugh. And anybody should know that. When are the Democrats, where is there one Democrat who will break away from this craziness and speak out against how terribly Brett Kavanaugh is being treated, okay? How he's just presumed guilty of all these salacious charges. I mean, just unbelievable. I thought it was really, I thought what Donald said at this press conference was funny. And I happened to look at CNN to see what their response was. And this is actually where I heard it. So I was checking them out. CNN was like, oh, and Donald Trump's joking about his drinking. You know, just joking about it, just belittling it with these serious charges, you know, these serious allegations. And he's just flippantly joking about this. It's so funny. The Donald said, I can honestly say I've never had a beer in my life. It's one of my only good traits. He said, I never had a glass of alcohol. I never had alcohol for whatever reason. Can you imagine if I had? What a mess I would be. I would be the world's worst. I never drank, okay? I would be a mess. Oh, he doesn't drink alcohol. I think the reason why he said that is because he had an older brother who passed away from alcoholism. But it looks like Donald never drank even when he was younger. So anyhow, I just love this. And of course, the press never gives him credit for this. The press never gives him credit that he doesn't drink. As a matter of fact, along those lines, they made fun of Mike Pence because he doesn't want to be alone with other women, you know, because of the, you know, it looks bad and stuff. Oh, wow. You know, it shows that'd probably be good because some woman might, or man, or whoever might accuse you of doing something bad. And it's a he said, she said, and then you're toast. No, you're done. You resign, quit. You know, might as well commit suicide. You're a loser, you know. So anyhow, oh, I just think that's really, really funny how he did that. how he is mocking them. He talked about how it's his only good trait that he doesn't drink alcohol. Oh, I love it. Oh, this is great. So anyhow, this week will go on and on. There's going to be a lot of more nonsense going on. But I love it. You know, the Democrats are going to be all mad. The Republicans, we're going to be happy and we're going to be supportive of Brett Kavanaugh. And good thing the Republicans are in control of the Senate. So the Senate's going to decide and then we're going to vote on Friday. And I'm still predicting, I've got a wager with one of my friends for lunch that Kavanaugh will get in. I'm still hoping and praying that that'll happen. I still think that will happen. This thing has dragged on forever. So I had a request to talk about vaccinations and autism and this link. And there is no link. Okay, there is no proof, there are no studies, and this has really been looked into, that show that vaccinations cause autism. So a really good article is at the National Institutes of Health. The ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. You got that? Oh, wow. That's pretty handy. This is a great article, and it talks about vaccinations. It says that vaccines don't save any lives, but vaccinations do. Okay, the vaccine is in a test tube. It's not going to help anyone. This is a great article about how the incredible morbidity and mortality, the illness, the sickness, and the deaths that have been caused by these now being vaccinated by these diseases has almost totally wiped them out. Okay, smallpox has been eradicated. So in 2016, there were no reported cases of smallpox. Okay, I don't know if this is the United States or not. Diphtheria, no reported cases. Measles, 67. Mumps, 5,300. Pertussis, 15,000. No cases of polio. I had a friend who was an anesthesiologist, and he limped around. He was from India, and he suffered from polio. One of our church leaders, Boy K. Packer, suffered from polio. Five cases of rubella, one case of congenital rubella, and 33 cases of tetanus, and 22 reported cases of Haemophilus influenza. So the decrease here is just unbelievable. You also have herd immunity. So if someone's vaccinated, and that means the chance of you getting that illness is super low, that means you're going to, other people who might not even be vaccinated who are around you or in contact with you will not get the disease from you. Chances are they won't. That's called herd immunity. You get protected, or community protection. So incredible benefits of vaccinations. This is kind of the argument that this is a public health problem because someone else might give you the disease. And so this is where we do need some cooperation. And so there have been extensive studies that show that there is no link with autism. Because you think about what are the risks with being vaccinated. So it's just really incredible. Vaccinations have reduced disease, disability, and death from a variety of infectious diseases. For example, in the United States, children are recommended to be vaccinated against 16 diseases. And I just read you some of those. So incredible progress on vaccinations. Can't say it. And yet some people are worried about that. And so this article talks about that. In addition, in recent years, growing numbers of persons have become hesitant about vaccines. Okay, when I was a kid, there was no hesitancy, really, that I saw or knew about. Fearing side effects and not appreciative of the enormous health benefits. So then they report some people, about 5% of the people are not recommending vaccinations. People, these parents are worried about them. The article says, one of the major concerns in recent years has been the allegations that vaccines can cause autism. There are three major theories advanced on the role of vaccines in causing autism. One, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Two, thimerosal and ethyl mercury containing preservative in many vaccines in the United States in the past. Now mostly out of vaccines recommended for children. So that's been removed just in case. And too many vaccines. There have been multiple well-conducted studies and independent reviews of those studies by the Institute of Medicine, now the Academy of Medicine, that do not support a role for vaccines in causing autism. Independent evaluation of the safety of the immunization schedule has found it to be extremely safe. However, translating the science into informative information capable of influencing vaccine skeptics has been difficult. Okay, now some of my friends are leery of the government saying different things, and I understand that. And I've mentioned this in one of my other podcasts about nutrition. And notice how the DGA, the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, is updated every 5 years because their nutrition is like psychiatry and psychology. Very difficult to study. It's evolving all the time. We're learning new things all the time. There's so much that we don't know about nutrition. And so my friend pointed out that, you know, cholesterol used to be so bad and we shouldn't eat eggs and shouldn't consume any cholesterol. Well, it turns out that they were pretty much wrong about that. That is nutrition. I agree. That's constantly in a change, okay? So the government does sometimes warn us that. The things I learned in medical school back in the late 80s, early 90s, most of the things I learned in medical school was wrong. As a matter of fact, I never remember learning anything about autism. I didn't even know what that word really was. I knew about mental retardation or developmental delays or communication issues or cerebral palsy. I mean, a lot of these other things I knew and saw and treated and diagnosed and things like that, but not autism. So autism is this big spectrum now. And so this is relatively kind of a new diagnosis. So anyhow, vaccines are incredibly effective. And we're actually having an increase in some of these horrific diseases because parents are not vaccinating their kids. So the risks that you undertake of that. Now, is there a possibility that autism or something like that, there's some negative effect in the vaccines? That's possible, but the chance of that happening are pretty much near zero. The reason is that millions and millions and probably billions of people have been vaccinated. They have been vaccinated. So we've got an incredible number of people who've been vaccinated and with little to no negative effect, no side effects. I've been vaccinated multiple times, no side effects. If I get the flu vaccine, sometimes I feel like I get the flu, who knows? No major side effects on any of the vaccines that I've received, but this is extended to millions of people. So these studies are, many of these studies were performed not by the government, okay? So that's a check. They confirm that, okay? They confirm what the National Institute of Health is saying. So I think yes, I agree, we should be skeptical. But if you look at multiple studies done by different people, independent of the government, independent of other kind of biases, and they're getting the same results, which basically says that there is no link between vaccinations and autism. There is no link. And so there's a lot about autism that we don't understand, but there is no link between vaccination and autism. And so I wanted to share that. So you guys, if you have any questions or comments about the show, please let me know. You can contact me at philcorper.com. I'm on iTunes, SoundCloud, the podcast is there, and also YouTube. You can just Google the Philip Corper Show and find me out. Now that's Philip with one L, and that's Corper, K-O-E-R-P-E-R. It's not K-O with an umlaut over it. It's K-O-E-R-P-E-R. That's the German way of spelling it. Thank you so much for listening. I wanted to close on a happy, good note for your day. And a scripture I was thinking of is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to talk to you guys soon. Take care.